The topic tonight is essentially the koach of tshuva and the search towards Hashem. But first I would like to share with you an idea that has been percolating in my mind for probably several decades. And it's essentially an examination of the Rambam and the first two prokhim of Hilchos Tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, in many shiurim, ben kesel la'asar, so he focused on these two prokhim. And I'll just more or less summarize some of the things that he said in the course of the years. You have some of it here on page 1 and also page number 2. I apologize for the Xerox machine was not functioning well, as you can see. And but more or less you can, I think, get a sense of what things are all about. The Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Tshuva, if you look carefully, you'll see the Rambam begins by presenting the components of Tshuva. He tells you the mitzvah, the way he defines it, is the mitzvah of vidui. Now, that's a fascinating Rambam because we know there are many elements that precede the actual vidui. And the Rambam, this is discussed by the Minchas Chinuch and by many others actually who talk about this issue. But the Rambam has a seder here, which is clear. He tells you all the mitzvahs, whether we're talking about an asay or not asay, the person violates him. Over adam al achas mehen, bein bezodah me mishkoga. And then he says, sort of matter-of-factly, kshayasa tshuva v'yoshe mecheto, that's matter-of-fact. His language is very striking. Chayav izvados v'nakel baruch hu, means how does he formulate the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the mitzvah vidur. And the tshuva is matter-of-fact, where he presents it. Very striking, when one would think that the, clearly, vidui, let's say, is the, perhaps the last step. Well, the press is able to formulate, but clearly a very wrenching process of tshuva should precede it. The Rambam goes on to quote psukim, and then he tells you, vidui is a mitzvah saseh, I underlined it, ketsa misvadim, and then he has the elements which Rav Soloveitchik analyzed at great, great length. Number one, ona Hashem, that's a bakosha, that Hashem should obviously give a person kapara. Then, hakar sachet, chatasi avisi pashaydi, this is a subject of the very famous machlokis of the Gemara in Yuma, what chet is, what oven is, what pesha is. Number three, hari nichamti uboshi b'masai. Element number three is the element of charata, which includes busha. Rabbi Yehuda has busha as one of the many ikarim in Shar Rishon of the Shar Tshuva. And then Yolam and Yichozah, the Vazeh, is number four, Kabbalah Rabba. These are the four components of the way the Rambam defines vidui, or tshuva, if we'll call it, often klali, zeh rikoshel vidui. And then he tells you, Chol amar b'li yisvados v'marach v'in yisrei reza b'shubach, and then he writes at the end of this halacha, Allah, Balich hatov v'ashamot, v'eishu v'vim korban osem, al shigosan, al zdonan, eim miskapalem v'korbanam, atshiyasa tshuva v'yisvado v'vidu dvorim. Means the kapara is only going to be achieved if a person does tshuva, v'yisvado v'vidu dvorim. So here already there's a kind of steer in the Rambam. Early he said, "Shayasa tshuva v'yashem echeto chayiv izvados." And here he says, "Shayasa tshuva v'izvado v'idvar." Okay, I'm not dealing with this issue. I'm just pointing it out to you. And then the Rambam calls the pasuk, and he also applies this to the chiyavim v'isus bezdin, the chiyavim malkus, em niskaber v'misasen or v'kiyasen, "Shayasa tshuva v'izvado." V'chen achov v'chavera, hamazik mamono, av v'sheshivlo. Even though your monetary restitution was taken care of, enu miskaper v'izvado v'yashem elaso. So the Rambam clearly is focused here on kapara. I continue. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam deals with Sorei Meshtalech. I think Rav Soloveitchik spent, I don't know how many shiurim discussing this Rambam and Halacha Beis, the Sorei Meshtalech, which I'm not going to do either, but clearly the Sorei Meshtalech, Kayadua, as he himself says, Kapara al Kol Yisrael. That's the ultimate Kapara, is the Sorei Meshtalech, the Sorei La'azazel. Halacha Gimel, the Rambam said, B'van Azeh, we have no Besavidosh, we have no Mizbeach Kapara, Ein Shom Elo Tshuva, HaTshuva Mechaperet al Kol Ha'averot. That's what we have, tshuva. I feel the Russia kol yama, v'asa tshuva v'achrona, and maskir lo shum davar v'yisho. Again, let me just point out to you the way our salvation would read the Rambam with a fine-tooth comb. Russia kol yama. Person is a complete and total Russia. V'asa tshuva v'achrona. The last moment he does tshuva. So what does the Rambam say? Look at his language. E maskir lo shum davar v'yisho. What a statement. Doesn't say that he has kapara. He says, e maskir lo shum davar v'yisho. That needs attention, which I'm not again doing now. He quotes a pasuk, "Risha tarasha lo yikoshel bav yom shuva merisha." And then he has, and this is one of again our Soloveitchik's favorite lines of the Rambam. He said there are two ways of reading this next line of the Rambam: either v'itzumo sheyom haKippurim mechaper, or he read it a second way: va'atzmo sheyom haKippurim mechaper. What's the distinction? So our Soloveitchik said that either Yom Kippur is, if you will, an instrument of kapara. Rambam calls the pasuk, "Kivayom azeh yichaper aleicha," or not that Yom Kippur is an instrument of the Kapara, there are many instruments of the Kapara, so is Yom Kippur. But it's to be read, not, as I said, that Yom Kippur is Mechaper, but rather as an instrument, but as he said, the Macht von Yom Kippur, the might of Yom Kippur. There are many Midrashim, that's always excited. That's Yom Mecha Bashomer. Itzuma, that's Itzuma. Okay, I can't discuss the Nachminas now because Amy's mine.
No, I'm saying how.
I just summarized to you about five shurim of Soloveitchik, but I didn't tell you anything. Each shurim was 4 hours. I'm just highlighting it. My interest is just to provide a preamble to what I'm about to say. So I can't discuss the Pratim.
I just wonder how you translate Itzuma versus Atzma.
The Itzuma means the essence, the might of the day. The essence of the day with its might, its power.
In itself?
That's right. Okay. Correct. The two ways. He said the two ways of reading it. I'm not here to discuss the Hebrew. The Lashon HaKodesh, I'm just quoting Rav Soloveitchik. The Rambam continues. He writes that the next halacha is a famous din. This is the sugya of Amasa ben Choresh. Dalet chiluk kapara. There are differences between the different types of averas that a person does. Maybe I'll visit this a little bit later. But essentially, the whole first parak is what Rav Soloveitchik called tshuva shel kapara. Tshuva, which is designed to achieve kapara, comes Perek Beis, which is on the next page. And here the Rambam now starts, and I just want to read the Rambam, not as carefully as I would like to read it, but point out to you a number of also interesting ha'orot that I think are significant. Ezori Tshuva Gemura, the famous Rambam. What is considered to be Tshuva Gemura? Obviously as opposed to Tshuva She'eva Gemura. Says the Rambam, Zeh Sheba L'Yodom Dovah She'ovar Bo, the person violated, did something, the Efshe B'Yadu La'Soso, the same Aveira, he could be a recidivist. That's part of the expression, that's English. Someone who repeats the crime. Upir Eshu La'Osav Ne'atshuva, but he's able to somehow contain himself and not, once again, repeat the Aveira. And the reason that prompts this kind of attitude, Lo Miyira V'Lo Mikishlon Koach, not because he's frightened of Onesh, not because of weakness. Ketzad, the famous Moshe Rambam, the same set of circumstances that initially prompted him to do the Avera are still there, are still extant, and he somehow was able to maintain and contain himself. That's the ideal, that's the ultimate. Let's say a person gets older. Let a person does no longer has the physical capacity to do that which he did 40 years ago. What a language. The Rav had a lot to say about this. What is this language? First he starts with Gemura, and then he goes to Me'ula, and then he says Mo'elet, but it's not Me'ula, but Mo'elet. And he's called about Tshuva. Okay, this needs attention. Another use of language of the Rambam. What does that mean? The same Avera. He violated again and again and again. A recidivist, classic. And yet he's able to do tshuva the day of his death. And he dies. Kol avonosa nimcholim. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk, which the Gemara actually dashes at the end of Masechet Shabbos, referring to the hoary years, H-O-A-R-Y, the elderly years. The person is octogenarian. So then the Gemara dashes that entire pasuk with reference to different parts of the body that begin to not function the way they did in the ideal. I continue. Halacha beis. Umayya tshuva. Rambam again asked the question, what do you mean Maya Tshuva? You already defined it in Perek Aleph pretty clearly. And there's a steer in the Rambam. That also as you pointed out, it's not his chiddush. Many ask already the steer in the Rambam. Here the Rambam lists now, so what are the components of Tshuva? Number one, Sheyazov Hachote Cheto. Aziva Tachet. He has to abandon the Chet. Number two, V'yasir Machshavto. Hasara Mimachshava. Number three, V'yigma B'liva Sholei Aseiro. That's number three, Kabbalah Labo. Number five, where in heaven's name did the Rambam get this? Pardon the entendre, the double, get it. Where in heaven? In other words, the Rambam says that you have to literally bring Hashem, Yodia Talumot, he has to come to testify.
It's not Biodolazos, this is already.
Let's say it. So legitimate question, how you go ahead and be made, I don't know how you go about doing it, but that's what the Rambam says. So first of all, the Rambam has changed the Seder that he had in Perek Aleph. There the order was pretty clear. First has to be Hakara Sachet, Harota, Kabbalah Abba. Here the Rambam has Hukhaker. First Aziva Tachet, then, as he said, Hasora Min Machshava, and then Kabbalah Abba, and then Harota, and then this Yodel of Yidea Talmud, that he doesn't have in Perak Alf at all. Shenem Avalonoma Ode Lokeinu Lamasi Odeinu. The Tzorach is Vavis Bismasa, Vlomu Gdana Eshagama Beliva. So, I'll get to this in a moment in Yashi Destira. Rabbi Yona in Shari Tshuva, essentially, even though he's not writing a codex, a halachic codex in the Rambam wrote, but he deals with this issue, and he has the following statement to make. Rabbi Yona in Shari Tshuva, it's found actually by Zirak the Shari Tshuva, and he has the following distinction between two situations. This is found in Shari Rishon. I didn't Zirak it over here in the Ikra Sheni. He said the following, and I think this is also the same in the Rambam b'fi'an yudati. Bida ki mi asher chota al derech mikre. I mean the Rabbi Yona. If someone, a happenstance, he sins, ein adam tzavi baruch asher yaseh tov lo yechta. So all of us are not able to avoid sin. Ki hisavo taivo vayechzak alav yitzro vayikafeyu v'lo nechotu vayona v'chushad befagobo. He's not able to control himself. And as a result, he sins. It happens to a lot of wonderful people, a lot of good people. Once in a while, we deviate from the path. He's very dramatic. Okay, he's essentially, that's built in to what you see in Rabbi Yonah's description, is already a basis for defense. So what should this person do? Once in a while, we can meet chatoyim. Here, there, all types of the chatoyim. Reishit tshuvat ha'isha zeh acharata. So a person should be sorry, should regret that which he did. V'losin yogom b'libo al-chatoso, v'lios nefesh nano, mara kalano. And he should try to add yirat Hashem b'nafsho, etc., etc. And that is the approach that he should take. U'modem v'ozeg yerucham. First it says charata, that's how he interprets the pasuk in Mishlei there, perek ches. However, now the second scenario. Acharisha mitatzev al-derech lo tovat tamid. Let's say a person is a recidivist. Person constantly commits a particular crime. Begeber al chataab dorech v'chol yom v'shoneh b'yivalto v'shav b'mutzato gam pamim rabot. Many times he does the same chet, the same. I happen to be a mechanich, or attempt to be a mechanich, so I deal with young people, and Baruch Hashem, sometimes they get into learning and get into Avodat Hashem, and then this one tells me about X and Y, things that they do, and they've been doing for years, and it's very hard for them to change, so what should they do? So he writes, Rabbi Yonah, Reishit tshuvat ha'isha zeh la'azov darko, aziv et achet. U'lahaskim l'kabel alav l'bal yosif lakto, and that's how he does it, by aziv et achet. Achrei chay, then you have all the other elements of charata, etc., etc. So he claims the distinction is, namely, the following. If a person commits a chet here and there, divin chatoyim, so you should have karata, be sorry, and mitzvah Hashem, try to address that chet that he did, or the chatorim that he did. But if it's one particular chet that a person is constantly fixated, and many people are fixated on different things, so someone told me he loves to speak Lashon Hara. The truth is, there's a lot of hanah in speaking Lashon Hara. So therefore, he loves it. He just simply cannot control it. So I told him, maybe you should learn the Shiras HaLoshon. He said, he learned Shiras HaLoshon. It didn't help him kihuzeh. It had no effect on him whatsoever. I said, what? You learned Shiras HaLoshon? It had no effect on you? That's impossible. He said, it had no effect. I just love Lashon Hara so much that I just simply can't control myself. So the Rambam says he has to somehow find a way to stop. Basically, to stop in his tracks. Azivat HaDerech, because it's an ongoing, it's something which is really part of his very persona. So it seems to me that this is also the issue of the Rambam. And I just want to show you the entire second paragraph of the Rambam, I'm convinced, is talking about this situation of recidivism of a person who showed me b'yivalto, and that's why the Rambam decided to include what he did in the entire parak. I look in parak base against this, we read already in the second halacha, Mari Yachuva, since he's talking about one particular chet, as he said in halacha Aleph, Zeh Shemol Yodo Dovo She'ovarbo, talking about one specific area. And I'll show you that this language of the Rambam recurs a number of times. And I'm interpreting now halacha base, She'yazav achote chet-o. Chet-o means a specific chet. V'yasir machshav tov. V'yigma b'livu sh'lo yaseyu et ha-chet hazeh, od. And the Rambam continues. V'yodol av yodeh talumut sh'lo yoshuv l'zeh ha-chet, l'olam. That's pretty clear. L'zeh ha-chet. Sh'nemar, etc. V'yigui, and it continues. The Rambam tells you, if you don't do so in halacha gimel, it's like total the sheretz v'yodol, you have to throw away the sheretz. You have to be mefarik the chet, and then he has an achadaw, a very striking to him. It's also based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but this is all this is not included in Perak Aleph, but after in Perak Beis. Midarki Hatshuva, Lios Hashav, Tzovei Tomid Adnei Hashem, Bebechi Ubetachnunim, Vose Tzdoko Kvikocho. I pointed out, and I heard this, I think I mentioned this before, I once asked Moreinu Rabbeinu, Hagoyin Avraham Lichasin, Tzatzal, at what point does a person become the mitzvah tzedakah? So he told me, "Bezal loshen, when you feel the pinch in the pocket." So I said, I told him, "What does that mean?" He said, "Tzedakah." We mentioned this week's parsha, Ray, the last pasuk in Ray, Ish. The pasuk says, "Kimat das yado, kivikas Hashem alokeh shenasalah, kimat das yado, kivi heseg yado." That's how he quoted from the Rav, from his father-in-law. So as you said, depending on the person's wherewithal and his capacity, so of course you're mekayim the mitzvah tzedakah even if I give a shekel. If I give a shovel puta. But it's not the ideal. Also, it's not going to be kochel. And he said, he brought me many riots from Rambam, Zilchus Matasaniyim, from Gemara's all over Shas, Kedaka Bakodesh. And but he said, I love that line. That's all I remember. When you feel the pinch in the pocket. I mean, so everyone has a different size pocket. Everyone feels the pinch differently. Kachshavati me pip kocho, Rabbanu Chassin Tatsal. And he quoted from his father in law, but the Rambam says it here clearly. But the question is, why did the Rambam include this? This discussion, Dafka, in the second paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva. Shov tzoik tomi bebechim tachnunim, osa tzok bikocho, umisrachim karbi min hadobo shechotobo. Again, referring to one specific Avera. Umishan ishmo, this is the famous Gemara of Rosh Hashanah, Shin Yashem, Shin Maise, all the things going into Golos, etc., etc. And then it continues in Halacha Hei, also the famous din, that the Rambam distinguishes between Benam Lamokom and Amma Chaver in terms of publicizing something. Here he tells you, where a person commits a sin. So he writes that the commits a sin, but on the Chaveiro, Shemach Godol Shitzvadim Rabin. Wow. He should embarrass himself, basically, publicly, and tell everyone that I did X and Y, and that will obviously, that public kind of embarrassment will certainly do a job on him. Once people are aware of what he did, even though it may have been done privately between him and on the Chaveiro, because of that could have a massive, hopefully, a positive kind of impact on his doing tshuva. The Rambam tells you that's only Ben Chavero, not Ben Lamakom, because the Ben Lamakom, it would be azus ponim, it would be absolutely something that's inappropriate to go and publicize it. The Rambam continues, Halachavav, Abishat Tshuva Tzokal Yofa La'olam. The Rambam had a set of famous tshuva drasha where he pointed out there are three different zmanim for tshuva. Namely, there's a zman of tshuva, Kol Hashana Kula, there's the 10 days of Inkesel La'osar, and then there's the Din Yom Kippur. They write in Halacha Zayin, that Yom HaKippur, Muzman Tshuva, HaKol Yochel, the Rabbim, sounds like a separate mitzvah of Tshuva on Yom Kippur, which Rabbi Neil is a tradition in Shara Tshuva as well. Separate din of Tshuva. And therefore, Chayom and HaKol, Asas Tshuva, Ulizvadas Yom HaKippurim. By the way, again, given what I mentioned earlier in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, that the Rabbim, the mitzvah is Vidui. And now he writes, Chayom and HaKol, Asas Tshuva, it sounds like another steer in the Rambam. There's steers all over the place. That's why Rav Soloveitchik had fertile ground to go ahead and have a field day. In his Tshuva Drashas, that literally were 4 hours. Between 4 and 5 hours, I was zechut to hear Tshuva Drashas. I remember one Tshuva Drasha, so he started at 8 o'clock. And at 12:15, he switches to English. They all were in Yiddish. He switches to English. Do you want more? So, of course, the 2,000 people there, including myself, I said, no, I don't want more. But I didn't say that publicly. I will not have the audacity to say it publicly. Everyone was quiet. He said, all right, shtika kaida, we will continue. And they go back to Yiddish and go to 1:15 in the morning. And I came home 3 o'clock. My mother, La Shom, thought that I was just absolutely. Someone is clearly not operating with full deck of it. And obviously, it must have been me. But anyway, so the Rambam here says again that there's a chiyah to do tshuva. That's a sevidi yom kippur, and then it goes to the entire discussion. What's fascinating is that here the Rambam again goes on halacha test. Ein tshuva yom kippur mechatrim el aver shavam lamakom. But Bem Al Khabero, Khoba Khabero, Makal Khabero, Eno Nim Khalo, Allah Machita Khabero, Mashukhailo, Biratseo. This is a famous Mishnah, the end of Yasugi, the end of Yuma. Yeah, I spoke about this also because I saw that you said a Shira on this, a steer in the Ramah between Khabero and Mazik and the Ramah over here in Hilchos Tshuva. And that steer is discussed in the Sefer, Darash Darash Yosef, in Pasha Vayelech, there where it's laid out actually. But what's fascinating is why the Ramah in this Perek, look what the Ramah does in this Perek. He defines Tshuva Gemurah. And then he includes a whole host of items. First, he changes the seder of the components of tshuva as he had in Perek Aleph. Then he writes here about Darkei HaTshuva that he doesn't include in Perek Aleph. Then he speaks about three different times of the year that one does tshuva, and especially Chiyuv and Yom Kippur to do tshuva. And then he goes to this long-winded discussion at the bottom where the Rav is in the Mechada between Mechila and Ritzui. Tzvei dinim, two different dialectical approaches, if you will. So why is that so? So the maskana I came to, based on what I just read, the Ram before you, that the Ram in the two prokim, the Ram is talking about, similar to Rabbeinu Yonah, two different situations. In Paragal, the Ram is talking about a person who's involved in all kinds of averos, different types of averos, diverse sins that a person does. And then the Ram tells you the Seder Advarim is, as we mentioned, has to be Akara Sachet, and there has to be, as the Ram writes, Charota, Kabbal Laba, Mashenkin over here, he's talking about a recidivist. In one particular chet, the entire parak is talking about that. One particular chet that a person, again and again and again, is not able to, is fixated on this for whatever reason, whether it's, as Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Mishum Tava, that he can't control, or kind of Mumla Te'avon of sorts, and the Rambam alludes to it, as I mentioned, I read a number of halachas in the Rambam, as the Rambam says, Shalom Yoshul Lezeh Chet Le'olam, he's talking about Zeh Chet, a particular chet. Therefore, the Seder is different. Here the Seder is first, Azivat HaChet, but it's not so simple for a person who is drowning, who is literally fixated on a particular chet, how does he go about doing tshuva? The Ram tells you here, you need a lot of assistance. Hashav tzoik tamud of Hashem bebechi ubetachnunim. Oset tzlokak fi kochal. Mitrachek harbim and abdoba shechotabo, the particular chet he's talking about. In order that he should somehow undo this recidivism that he's involved in. And then the Ram goes on to the bottom of the page, he tells you it's not just mechila, here you're going to require ritzulim, it's a much more profound, wrenching process of tshuva that's going to be involved in. That to me, lechora, is the reason why the Ram also says, even though I don't know how to go about doing this, Rabbi Feinberg, means ad kidei kach, the tshuva has to be of such a nature, it's not simply that, as the Ram said in Perek Aleph, of Hilchos Tshuva, that there he didn't use such a lashon. Just says, the olam eni chol zeh ledavar zeh. I'm not the Kabbalah Abba. No, here you have to bring the Rebbe Shalom because a person is so shakua, wallowing in such a chet, in particular chet, that somehow, how do you go about doing this? I don't know. But I'm saying that Ram uses this kind of language because he's describing a different type of situation than that we should describe in Perek Aleph. That to me is the issue of the Nestir of the Rambam. And I didn't hear Asalvashi say this, but it's Pasha to me. It's like almost Aleph based. Reading the Rambam, I read the Rambam hundreds and hundreds of times in the course of the years, and I think that's the resolution to these two. To what I consider to be a conundrum, which is really already, I saw many people asking the Rambam, and they're concerned about the two different prokim, and there are other steerers in the Rambam, but I'm not going to discuss all the steerers. I want to mention a question that's been bothering me for a long time, and this question is actually, I think it's a basic question, Hilchos Tshuva. So let's just point out that Tshuva is a massive Kiddush. The whole concept of Tshuva is Kiddush Gadol Me'od. The non-Jewish world, non-Jewish philosophers do not know about tshuva. How is it possible for a person to go ahead and somehow create tabula rasa? How is it possible?
They have confession and stuff like that.
But what does confession do? So he said another tshuva dasha, Soloveitchik, that what confession does, he knows the Catholic theology much better than I do,
yeah.
And much better than most of us probably. He was literally a bucky in the, not just in the Catholic Church, but in Catholic, he read all the Catholic midrashim. He read everything. I think I mentioned that I mentioned a few times that I took a course with Rav Professor David Berger, Shlita, Shashem Yarach Yomav. So I took a course with him many, many years ago, and I was 18 years old, and we were required to read the New Testament. So the truth is I didn't really want to read the New Testament, but I was Chatoya and Maske. So I had other things to do, like play basketball. Anyway, so I went to Abban Soloveitchik Zatzal and asked him, I told him that this Rabbi Professor Berger told us we have to read the New Testament. And am I allowed to? So he starts counting the Surah Daraisa that involved the New Testament, Rabbi Soloveitchik. So then finally I got them together with Rabbi Berger, was also Talmud Rabbi Soloveitchik, Talmud the Rav, Talmud Rabbi Soloveitchik. So in the course of the discussion that they have, he's listening to all these Surah Daraisa. So Rabbi Berger is trying to more or less tell Abban Soloveitchik there's value in his knowing the New Testament because Gemara said Sanhedrin Lahavin Lahiris. So Abban Soloveitchik said, I don't think that this 18-year-old young man is going to be involved in a dialogue with the Catholic prelate from the Catholic Church, either the Cardinals or the Pope or something along those lines. So then Rabbi Berger asked Abban Soloveitchik, is he familiar with the New Testament? He said, I read the entire thing from cover to cover, which was not a hitch to me. I already knew this. But I'm sure I wasn't holding them by the Havana the Hirus, that's for sure. And then Rabbi Soloveitchik proceeds to demonstrate all kinds of steerus in the New Testament on the spot. We see Matthew and Luke and this and that. Wow, I was just absolutely flabbergasted. But anyway, I say that because This discussion led to another discussion, and this I asked Abba and Salvation the following question. I wanted to know, and this is what we spoke about.
But Rebbe wasn't 18 when he read it, probably. Tell you, that's what his response was, that you know, to put an 18-year-old to
okay, read it. Okay, I don't know how old he was when he read it. He seemed to, I know one thing, like once with Abba and Lichtenstein, the same thing happened in 1968, when he told us we should read the Milton, Paradise Lost. And if we don't read that, we're missing something in Avodas Hashem. So I didn't know who Milton was, except I had a few chaver and then Milton, but other than that, but didn't have a clue who Milton was. And I went again to Rabbi Soloveitchik and asked him about reading Milton, Paradise Lost. And I said, I told my father, my father read Paradise Lost. Anyway, but my father thought that reading Sefer Tehillim and learning it well would also be just as good, the Hamdil, as Milton's Paradise Lost. So I went to Rabbi Soloveitchik, he agreed with me. Then he didn't believe that Rabbi Lichtenstein said that. Maybe I didn't understand it fully. So again, we had a discussion. What I remember from that discussion is that Rabbi Lichtenstein, the covet and the cheres that he had for Rabbi Soloveitchik, I can't even begin to describe. He said, let's go and we'll speak to Rebbe. That's what he's called him. We'll speak to Rebbe about this. And then and when he saw Rabbi Soloveitchik, he started running at top speed. And Baruch Hashem, he was quite athletic. And at that point, certainly. And top speed. And then he spoke to him only in the third person. And the Yiddish, the whole conversation was conducted. It was very, just the whole thing was very fascinating to me. And I was just a bystander, like a fly on the wall, observing these two W. Yisrael, etc. Then Rabbi Lichtenstein asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, is he familiar with Milton? Of course I'm familiar with Milton, the Paradise Lost. I remind you of that story with another burger. Exactly the same story. So they were, I don't know what age they read it. I can't begin to tell you. Whatever the case, the following question came up, and this question is as I said, the non-Jewish, that's what Rasa Lezzi said, non-Jewish philosophers also deal with the concept of Tshuva, but they cannot imagine that you can undo that which a person did. Chazal, the Gemara has Tshuva Me'ava, Tshuva Me'ira, the Gemara at the end of Yuma, and it's interesting what the Rambam sheet on this matter is that needs attention, but Tshuva Me'ira leads to, the Gemara says that Nasu Kish Gogos, and Tshuva, sorry, what did I say? Tshuva Me'ava leads to Nasu Kish Gogos, and Tshuva Me'ira, how's it go the other way around?
Tshuva
Me'ira
leads
Kish Gogos, and Tshuva Me'ava Kish Chuyos, thank you. So that's something which is a mind-boggling. In the non-Jewish world, it's something that doesn't exist. There's no such concept. But I want to know, in general, is there a possible hakira, and I'm just raising this hakira, that's not the part of the discussion tonight, namely what tshuva does. Does tshuva, is it oike the chetem afreya? We're saying nasu kishchuyas. What do we assume though? Tshuva is not oike the chetem afreya. You can't be oike, I mean, a person is kovet umdot bashetach, you establish facts on the ground, the person does what he does, and unfortunately you have to pay for it. That every crime is warrants a punishment. Person has to is responsible for his actions. We're sentient people, we're people with Bali Bechira. So it could be what happens that the chet remains. But what is there? Abtur Onesh. So I want to know on this issue, what is the halachic, shall we say, the hashkafic position of the world that we live in? You will tell me, Dvom Shutin, that what's there to talk about? Of course the tshuva is okay the chet. I'm not convinced. So I have the following thesis in my head. I would have to prove it to you. It's going to require another shiur, maybe some other occasion. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Maybe there's a distinction between Yom Kippur and Kol HaShana Kula. It could be that Kol HaShana Kula, I'm sort of convinced that the chet is nekar, but only b'kamal abo means that maybe it's a tur onesh that you get in Yom Kippur. The Lashon HaRambam to me here, and he writes, when again, I can't prove it in the language of the Rambam. It's very hard to prove these things. And Halacha Zayin, the prayer is Yom Kippur is man tshuva l'kol yachad the Rambam kates. Mechila u'slicha l'isa, whatever that means. Again, the Rambam has lent itself to so many interpretations, kayodua, keitz mechila u'slicha l'isa. And Yom Kippur is mechaper. Tshuva is also mechaper. But it could be in Kol HaShana Kula, because the Rambam writes it earlier, again, as we saw in Halacha Vavi, in Perek Beis, he says, Abba Lisha Tshuva Atzoka Yofa L'Olam. Wow, Yofa. But how do you interpret that Yofa L'Olam? It's a nice thing to do, but I'm not sure it does the job completely. But in 10 days of Aser Yamim, Yafu B'Yeser, Miskabel Simiyad, what does that mean? Is it Oikel Mafrey everything? I'm not sure. In Alok HaZayin, Oikel Mafrey. Okay, that's my thesis. You can disagree. I have Rias to come in
the car. I have a question in your yeah. Position. The Gemara says, V'mokom Shev Vali Chuvam the Inansi.
Which the Rambam quotes, by the way.
So how do you understand that if you're saying that the Chit's still there, with no Onesh, so then I would think the Tzara Gomer is better than the Baal Tshuva.
I'll tell you what that means. I'll tell you what I heard from one of the Talmidim of the Risk of Rashiva Wadiu, are going to Anach one stage. I asked him Shad this Gemara when I was in high school. What does it mean? Magum Shabbat the Tshuva, only I feel that Tzadik and Gurim Chol Nav. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Tzadik Gomer is a person who works his entire life and is self-disciplined and is someone who follows the playbook, and he goes every single clause is in place, is in order. And about Tshuva, so he said to me the following. He used the mushal, this goes back decades ago, the mushal of the Sputnik. When they send the Sputnik into space, that's what he's giving me in Yiddish. He's explained to me about Newton and the law of gravity. I'm 13 years old, maybe 14 years old, yes, in this kasha. And how you have to escape the Earth's gravitational pull, and this is Gven Agoin. He said, Agoin named Newton. Gven Agoin. That's what he called him, Agoin named Newton, etc., etc. By the way, the Europeans have a much more open kind of attitude towards secular education. All the European Rosh Hashiva that I had in my life, all of them were much open to everything, open to Israel, to the state of Israel, open to... I always spoke about this many, many times. I told you, Rabban Soloveitchik used to sing, Leo Sam Kodosh Be. Yes, I went over to the 13th. How do you change the Nusach? What's the deal? It says, my Nusach, Leo Sam Chofshi, Bat Seno. He says, Chofshi, Chofshi Min HaMitzvitz, Chas V'Sholem. So then I went to Rabban Lechazin, he said, no, Chofshi means autonomy, sovereign. I don't understand the whole discussion. But anyway, whatever the case is, so they were much more open in terms of general approach towards the world, towards science. Generally, when people get older, even young people like Hanayim, you know, after a while they mature. And they begin to recognize that there's a world out there, and not everyone is like them, and Aniv Afsiyot is not the proper approach, and there has to be some Hanava, a little bit of humility and modesty, etc., etc. That's what happens when you get older. you chill out a little bit. But again, what was I talking about?
My question was, the Malcolm Shabbat.
Yeah, so one second. So he told me the following. So he said to me, how did they get that Sputnik in there? How did they get that? So he said, he said in Yiddish, he says, Ad-Dechifa, that's what he called it. So I didn't know what he was talking about. 10,000-pound thrust in order to get that past the Earth's gravitational pull. That's what was required. So that's what Baal Tshuva has. That's what the Gemara means. The Malcolm Shabbat Tshuva, isn't it? All of us, he said, we go up the ladder. One rung, the second rung, we fall, we go up, back, forth. Little by little, we ascend the rungs of the ladder. Mashenkin, Baal Tshuva, he's got this unbelievable thrust. And that thrust was able to bring him to a point where, who knows why, that he jumped rungs of the ladder. Let's say he skipped 10 rungs. So he said, that's why he told me, the Talmud of Briskov, according to Rabbi Rakefet, he's the first Talmud of Briskov. He was my Masada Kedusha. Because when I told you, when I Rav Soloveitchik was supposed to be Masada Kedusha, and he calls me up there, the Chassan, his cousin is getting married. A cousin is more important than me? The answer is in Brisk, yes. It wasn't even the first cousin of the six. The third cousin is Kasher Leidos. I didn't understand the whole discussion. Anyway, Kitzer. So he goes down the line of Rabbanim who are coming to the Chassid. A lot of Rabbanim who came, including Avraham Lichtenstein, and Rav Heschel Shechter, and Nissim Alpin, and each one, Rav Nachmanstein. Why? He's the Talmud Mover God, my uncle, of Yisrael. The problem is he never was out of Kedushin his entire life. And then they warned me he's going to start tearing up Tzubis. So I brought with me, I think, four Tzubis. He taught the first two. I was panicking. I was freaking out. Prussia was going out of my mind. Then Rav Guralik said, don't worry, we'll take care of him. We'll discuss some sugi and kachim. He'll forget he's at the chassid. He'll forget he's at the tzuba. That's what happened. And then get Rav Yisrael Alvin quickly. He filled out the tzuba. No problem. Everything was fine. Anyway, so that's what happened. My chassid. Okay, but kids, back to the issue at hand. So this question, that's what he said. That's what it means. Welcome Shema, the tshuva omdin. They're able to somehow, with this incredible thrust, but because the fact they didn't go wrong generally tends to be much more less solid. They're not as solidly anchored as a Tzadik Gomer. Tzadik Gomer is solidly anchored. He builds. How does he build? By sending each rung of the ladder. And each rung, he establishes a foothead, a beachhead. Mashenkin, the Baal Tshuva, he somehow has this thrust.
So
of course.
That, so that's the theory. You're saying that the fate is there. There's no onish. The fact that Gomer says that Malcolm Shein means that they have this thrust.
That's what it means. By the way, this is not a psak halacha, that statement. It's an agadic statement, which is very nice. And I think it's a beautiful statement. I think it's very true. I see it all the time. I see people who, when they call, what's the term? They flip out. And the problem, they flip out one way, they can also flip out the other way. Mashenkin, the regular, what they call the FFB, the slow and steady. I told you the mushal many times. I like this mushal a lot, but it's not helping me with this. But anyway, the mushal, the difference is seeing a person who, in the football. I don't know much about baseball or football. I'm an Amar, so I'm a Bramfield. I'm sorry. Tatuani Masi, you told me I better begin to, that a day from now, the yeshiva starts, I better get my act in order, so I have to speak to you maybe. Anyway, so the So you get down. How do you get down to the goal? There are two ways. Either you, football, the American football, you're not into that. Asherechem, asherechem tuchah. But anyway, so the two ways to get down to the goalpost, either by this fullback, this 300-pound Gesunde Hackfleisch fullback, so he takes the football, and they find, they have these people who make holes for him. What do they call them? I don't know what they call them. What?
Blockers.
Blockers, same thing. They find a hole, and he's able to go through. And they get to the first down. And sometimes they have screen pass here, and sometimes it fails, and sometimes they lose yardage. But little by little, kol puta puta b'sar erev z'cheshem gobel, like Gemara says in Barabasa. Mashen Kane, that's not exciting, but they have these, I once was at the Giants, actually, New York Giants. They had a, there, in summer, they practiced in Augusta, Maine. And my mishpacha lives in Portland, Maine. So I'm a little kid, I like football. And so I went to Augusta, Maine to see I saw the other, you know, Frank Gifford and Alice Webster, Del Shaffer, they're in the game of the door. These are the door. Anyway, I saw them in action. Anyway, the kids, the other way of getting down there is by throwing these, 60-yard touchdown passes, which who catches the tight end or the whatever they call the guy?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver, thank you. I apologize. wow, David, you're impressive. Anyway, so the so the wide receiver, it's either overthrown, underthrown, intercepted, deflected. So usually, let's say 80% of the time, it doesn't work. So 20%, but when it works, wow, oohs and ahs, and that's the Malbika. So of course, at the end of the day, all of us have to be inspired. This is what gets my inspiration speech from Brownfield. We have to be inspired. So once in a while, we need 80-yard touchdown pass. But most of the time, we're, shall we say, grinding out the yardage. That's what we're doing. Kalputa Putin, Sarez, Reshma Goldi. You want to learn how to learn? So you can finally hear a shtickle term from some great Rosh Hashiva. Wow, wow, you're just sitting there dazzled by it. But it doesn't help you understand the Gemara actually takes an Aima. So that you have to work. You have to grind out the yardage. And grind it out very carefully. Okay, so that's the pshat. I don't think it's a steer of a chal. That I think it's the real pshat, what he said. But that one thing, I think it's the pshat. Okay, I'm going now to... so this question that I raised, again, it needs to be examined, this thesis, whether the tshuva being neka, the mafreya, and the completely able to accomplish that which you want is dafka and yom kippur, mashenkein, the tour from Onesh is kol hashem kula. Yes, she said, come dodun, and I'm not, I have rise of kamal v'kanef, maybe for another shiur, another occasion, the things that bother me. Okay, I want to just, now, on page number one, there's a famous Mishnah. Mishnah says in Yuma Kehei, Chatas v'oshim v'adai mechapri. It's a famous statement. Chatas et oshim v'adai mechapri. Now, what I'm saying now, this next little piece I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, one of the true rushes, I'm saying it over. I hope I'm saying it over correctly. The Rambam quotes this halacha, he quotes this Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to say, Nisav Yom Kippur Mechaprim Ima Tshuva. Notice the first statement. Chatos Vashem Bali Mechaprim. Does it mention anything about Tshuva? No. The second statement, Nisav Yom Kippur Mechaprim Ima Tshuva, that clearly mentions Tshuva. And then it continues. Tshuva Mechaperat Alayel Kalot Alasei Alot Asei Alachamur Tutole. I'm not going to go through this right this second, but there's a Rashi here that Rav Soloveitchik was omitted on. And this Rashi is very troubling. Chatos Vashem Bali Mechaprim. I underline it. Says Rashi, Umistoma Tshuva Ika. What a Rashi. Rashi said, we can assume that what? That there's Tshuva. How does Rashi know that? She lo yam ischaret, lo yam may be korba. Means Rashi is troubled by the obvious question. Why does the Mishnah say that a korban provides kapara only if he engages in Tshuva? That's what the Mishnah should have said pretty clearly. So Rashi says that a person, we know the Navi says, Lomali Rosu Chechem, the Navi are constantly railing against korbanos. Kol ha-Navim, left and right. This is the Yishayo, Lamali Rozuchay Yom Hashem, Yimiyo, Yishayo, Kiseidem, throughout Tanakh. So the people, again, somehow were not capable of doing tshuva, but they felt there's always some hero tshuva, some sense of guilt. So they're offering up karbonos. Means the karbon becomes, and this is really one of the problems that the Nevi'im and Tanakh constantly talk about. The karbon, instead of being a means to an end, becomes an end in itself. And that's one of the problems. And the Rambam talks about it more in the Vuchim. So Rashi says that even such a korban provides kapara. Why? Because really, a person has a sense of regret. A person really, even though they can't yet resolve to amend their ways completely, but in fact, they offer the korban, meaning there's a certain level of harata, mistama, says Rashi. And that's what the korban is accepting. The Rambam completely disagrees with this. If you look at the Rambam over here, again, in Paragalf, it was true, Aleph Aleph, I read it before, the last four lines of the Rambam, he tells you, Bali chatos v'ashamot v'eshem v'vim korban ha'seh, em yiskabal em b'korban ha'she'asa tshuva. It's very clear, according to the Rambam. And the Gemara says it all over Shas. and which is the Pella Otsim. Look on page number 2, lower right hand corner. I just quoted one of the many Gemaras. Idla v'tshuva zevach v'shoim ta'ima. What's there to talk about? The person doesn't do tshuva, the carbon is absolutely unacceptable. The pasuk says it's abominable. That's just unacceptable. It means in order a person to obtain the kapara of the carbon has to do tshuva. So the question on Rashi. So somehow Rashi assumes and that's not the case. And it's very interesting that...
Well, I understand. Rashi says,
Mistama,
there is tshuva, but he
agrees. He's, no, he doesn't agree. Mistama, tshuva ikar. But the mashmos of that language is that mistama, let's say tshuva is not there.
No, the mistama is because it's not said explicitly.
Okay, one kid, the Rav didn't interpret the Rashi that way.
Okay.
And I see a mockum to, I also thought like the way you did, but the Rasoleshi did not read the Rashi that way, and I think there's mockum to read the Rashi the way he read it. He thought it's Machol's Rashi the Rav. That's what we understood over here. But again, the Rashi gives such a balabatish svara. In lawyer is chayid, maybe karma. What does that mean? That's a balabatish svara. I don't fully, I understand that you have to select an animal, you have to decide, transported to Shalayim. There's a lot of mechanics involved over here. I mean, if I were not concerned, I wouldn't have gone through the whole trouble of offering a carbon. Obviously, something bothers me, something troubled me, and that's apparently the element of there may be some Yehura and Tshuva. That's what we assume. That's what something. But according to the Rambam clearly says no. The Rambam holds that it has to be Tshuva. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. There's no discussion. All discussion doesn't begin. Okay, so this will lead us now to the second issue that is already a question that many, many ask. Including your Rav Soloveitchik. If you look back at the Mishnah again, on the third line, here on page number 1, the famous Mishnah, Ha'omer Echta V'yoshu, Echta V'yoshu, Emaspikim V'yodo Lasos Tshuva. Which means that a person who continues to sin, and somehow, every time he sins, oh, I'm going to do Tshuva. That's how he solves, S-A-L-V-E-S, solves his conscience. S-A-L as opposed to S-O-L. Anyway, I teach English also at the Yeshiva Bachur. That's really what I do. It's part of one of my roles. But I gave up. I gave up. No one reads anything. No one can write a coherent sentence. No one can express themselves coherently. What shall I do, Rav David? What do you suggest? I was actually present. I was with Rabbi Gifta from Tel Yeshiva, the front of the Bracha. And a young man came over to him. And obviously, since there, they give Shurim in Yiddish. So he decided to speak in Yiddish, to converse in Yiddish with Rabbi Gifta. So Rabbi Gifta spoke Yiddish. That's the difference. This fellow did not really speak Yiddish. It's clear he knew 3 or 4 words. I mentioned today when someone spoke Yiddish, as if Vinzeya disappointed, that's how they speak Yiddish today. Anyway, people often are bothered by shurim and yeshivas that are in Yiddish. They don't understand Yiddish. So the whole Yiddish consists of 50 words. So if you figure out 50 words, then you're in great shape. It's basically what they call yeshiva shvach, or I call it the jargon of the underworld, whatever you call it, the argument of the underworld, whatever you describe it. Anyway, so he starts speaking Yiddish, so Gifta right away stops him. But listen, you don't speak Yiddish, that's not your language, speak your mother tongue. You were born in America? Yeah. So he starts speaking English. So Rabbi Gifta says to him, clearly that's not your mother tongue. So what other language do you possibly speak? So he said, Hebrew. If he speaks Hebrew for about 10 seconds, Rabbi Gifta says, wow, you're in trouble. He says, I would call you a polyglot, but you're an Amoritz in all the languages. So one has to try. Anyway, so I'm back over here. The Lashon Rambam of the Mishnah, Omer Echta V'yoshuv. Echta V'yoshuv, Ema Speaking B'yodo, Lasset Tshuva. The Mishnah is very meduyak. It says, Ema Speaking B'yodo. How do you translate that? Ema Speaking B'yodo. Ema Speaking simply means that you won't be provided with the opportunity to do Tshuva. Am I translating it properly? That's how I would translate it. The reason why this is difficult, look at the next statement. Echta v'yom kippur mechaper, ein yom kippur mechaper. Here the Mishnah is pretty absolute. Yom kippur is not the chaper. If I think I can do whatever I want, and then yom kippur comes, no problem. Everything we take care of. Why does the Mishnah distinguish between the two situations, and the language reflects it? In one case, am I speaking the other vasa tshuva? In the other case, ein yom kippur mechaper. Pashut, I'm excluded from the beneficence of yom kippur.
But you really do tshuva, it's okay.
Oh, so that's the deal. Correct. That's a correct deal. If you really do tshuva, it's okay. The reason why I say this is because you'll see in a moment that, although, again, your deal is a correct deal undoubtedly, we do know from the Rambam, from other places in the Rambam, I don't know if I Xerox this, maybe I did, yeah, the famous Rambam in Perek Vav, Chesuva on page number 3. This is the Rambam question: what is the Shita of Rambam regarding certain individuals who somehow, either they lost their bechira to do Chesuva? It's not clear that that is a Rambam Shita, although it seems to be. Paro is the classic example. Paro of Mitzrayim, that he lost his bechira to do Chesuva. I mean, you have to understand very well. I understand the Svara. A slave society is a very prosperous society. There are no strikes, no lockouts, no wage increases, no Shemitah B'Yom Rishon of the school system, etc. Nothing like that exists. I remember my father, Shom, had me read Uncle Tom's Cabin. I don't know if you read that. So I'm a prolific reader of all this, and what happened before the war, I'm talking about the Civil War, and the old slave society, and I got to be careful here. Other countries, etc. But anyway, without getting into the details, so it's partial that to take a slave society and convert it to a free labor society, that is not a simple decision for Paro Melech Mitzrayim to make. I mean, so he could resolve, or he could resolve to let the Klal Yisrael leave. I understand it. I understand it very well. Makes a lot of sense. So again, Eimah speaking beyond the last is tshuva simply means that you're going to have difficulty doing tshuva. But the fact that tshuva will be impossible, that Chas V'Shalom is not such a thing. So I'm going to say, by the way, that's Tshuva Rambam as well. Even though the Ikrim, Abesiv Albo, he takes the Rambam, wow, he understood the Rambam, you can lose your Bechira. The question is that with the Rambam, you have to read the Rambam carefully. Take a look at the Halacha Gimel, just for a second. The Efshar Sheyechta Adam Chet Godol. I didn't underline it. Ochatoi Rambam, Matsheyitin Adin Ufei Dain HaEmes, Sheyeh Piron, Mizeh, Hakotei Alachatoi Vela, Shehasa Bertzono, Midaito, Shemoni Mimeno HaTshuva. That's pretty clear. Vein Manicha Lo Rishut, Lo Shemirisho. Why? Because if you do Tshuva, then you'll have a lease on life. But we don't want him to have a lease on life. We want him to perish in the chet that he did. And he quotes Psukim, Yishayo, and other Psukim that Anon quotes, and then he mentions, that's exactly what happened with Paro. Lepi shechot v'yatzmo t'chila, v'heira l'Yisrael ha-gorim ba'arzo, hoven nishak malo, nosan adin, l'mno atshub menu, atshub yifron menu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chizik es libo. There are different interpretations. I even saw an interpretation of Rambam. It doesn't mean that he lost his Bechira entirely. That it's not possible. And that's what the Rabbi Yisrael Albo, others asked the Rambam, what do you mean? How is it possible to lose your Bechira? The Bechira is the Yisod. Where's the Rambam include the Dinim of Bechira Chavshus or the concept? That's the Hilch Tshuva. Because without Bechira Chavshus, there's no possibility of Tshuva. It's a prerequisite to Tshuva. Without it, there's nothing to talk about. So it's always an option. A person can always overcome his evil desire. A person can always exercise his freedom of choice, but sometimes it's a very significant hurdle. Sometimes it's an overwhelming hurdle. It's something which is extremely difficult. So you can say, by Chazik Hashem, as Paro means, Eima speaking to the other loss of tshuva. He made it so difficult for him that he really would have to go through a lot in order to be able to do tshuva. But whatever the case is, again, the point is that the Rambam seems to, and you are correct when you your dear, what David said earlier, David Zuga about Shlita, that in terms of doing tshuva, but still the Lashon HaMishnah is very, it troubled us all the why the Mishnah uses the lashon of an absolute lashon ein yom kippur mechaper? So the pashuk shah, the truth of the matter is, there's another Rambam, and that's what not everyone is aware of. The other Rambam, Perek Dalid, I think I did Xerox this as well. Yes, I did. Perek Dalid halacha aleph. Rambam says over here, he talks about the 24 things that are makip tshuva. So he writes, four of them, oven gadol ba'os echad mehem, ein hakadosh baruch hu maspid yado lasa tshuva v'fi gadol cheta. V'yelo hey, what does the Rambam do over here? He equates these two. Ha'omer echtav yashuv, u'bichlal zeh, ha'omer echtav yom kippur mechaper. So here the Rambam actually, unlike the Lashon HaMishnah, which seems to distinguish, to differentiate between the two, the Rambam here, in effect, equates the two. Of course, I mean, if one has the correct resolution, then we know. The Gemara says, ha'bol atayim esayudo, the person who is moving the way, the Gemara says in also Maseches Makis, that the Gemara said that a person, it's a famous Gemara that a person will have siyata d'shmaya. Means if a blind person is capable of walking and you help him walk the street, across the street, so it's about in a similar kind of way. But I always thought that the pshat of this, when the Mishnah says Omer that ein echtov be yom kippur mechaper, ein yom kippur mechaper, I thought it's based a little bit on a very fascinating din that's found actually in Shulchan Aruch. It's a Rambam, Hilchos Gogos, in Perek Gimel. I didn't Xerox it. But the Rama quotes this in Tav Reish Zayin, in Siv Vav. The Rama discussing there, I don't know, if you, I saw this when I was a little kid. They used to give people Malkus at Erev Yom Kippur. I grew up with that. You saw that also. In South Africa, so because you're very traditional, you're very Litvish over there.
That's not Litvish.
But this is Ramah Shulchan Aruch, and people would, I saw this as a little kid, they would say, Buhurachim Chabam Olayashkes, I remember. I thought this was a golden opportunity to go after people I don't like. You have to give a Malchus. So I'll be the one, of course, it says in the Gemara, at the end of Makkah, it says, I'm a Kosel Alocha. It has to be done in a certain kind of way, with sensitivity, etc., etc., not more, not less, etc. Anyway, but in the context of that Ramah, so the Ramah said the following. Yom HaKippurim Enu Mechapeh Ela HaShobim HaMaminim Bekaparasa. This is the Rambam, Chilush Gog, it's a pair of Gimel. That if you believe in the Kapar of Yom Kippur, then it works. Abo HaMevaibo Libo Mamoyel Yom Kippur Zeh Enu Mechapeh Lo. That's the Pesach of the Rambam. So I thought that's also the basis for this Mishnah. HaOmer Echta Yom Kippur Mechapeh. He obviously doesn't really subscribe to Yom Kippur. He thinks it's a token kind of thing. What is it, pro forma kind of thing? You go through Yom Kippur. Many years ago, I became a rav at a very young age, and in a shul which was, I don't know how to describe the shul, you'll get a kick out of it. So the previous rabbi was an older man, and apparently they used to have yisker on Yom Kippur that attracted hundreds and hundreds of people. They only kept a yisker. Yom Kippur was a yisker day. Whenever yisker was said, Shalosh Regalim, and generally when yisker was said, people, Babu Shenaba, people give money to tzedakah. So this is what I saw with my own eyes. I'm a rav, and this older rabbi is still dabbling in the shul, Yom Kippur. Yisker takes place. There were about 10 yiskers that went on in the back room. So I was curious to know what was happening over here since I was in the main shul. And I go to the back room and discover the following. Money is being collected on Yom Kippur for yisker. In the Orthodox synagogue. My brother fell. Almost had a heart condition. I'm not talking about money. Thousands of dollars were collected. That's how the rabbi made his panasa. So he's an Orthodox rabbi. So I...
And you mean pledges?
I'm trying to get a tzaddik to say that. Hashem should bless you. Well, I don't want to say the next thing now because you don't take it the wrong way, okay? I beg of you, could I just ask you not to take it the wrong way? You promise me? When I was a youngster, so I was also a very much an Amit Schluss, I call you so. Today I'm more of a realist. But I'm an Amit Schluss. So I had a lot to do with Rabbi Gorelick, the Chatzal de Bracha. I was a Talmud of the Brisk Rav, a bit of a Kanoi. I'm not sure the word bit should be, how should be understood. But anyway, Kanoi Muflok. And so I once asked him, I was always being an Amit Schluss, everything this happened, that happened, and he was always a takif. He gave it to people very openly. He felt that he needed to give tochacha. And so I kept being malam excuse. Why give tochacha? Maybe this, maybe that. All kinds of different excuses. So finally one day I said, he says to me, you know why Hashem created that midah being malam excuse? Like, that means, how do I translate it? For a twisted mind like it was. He says, you have to know that people are, that's why I asked an apology beforehand. Not God forbid, I don't mean, you're Hashem, that's a good midah, wonderful midah. It's a beautiful meter to have. One day I should be zechut to it. Anyway, so the problem is I'm surrounded by a lot of reality. As a rov, I'm surrounded by incredible realities, all kinds of things that people do. Maybe I'll discuss that later on since I mentioned this already. But anyway, I'm speaking beyond the last tshuva. Again, another Rambam. Let me show you in Halach above. Look at the bottom of the page here, and page number 3. After the 24 things of Makir tshuva, I'm not going to go through them now. This is essentially what you said, David, that ein mayin nasa, which means that your ability to do tshuva is never foreclosed. And the Rambam says, elim also odem tshuva mayim, how is about tshuva, v'yeshechek, v'olam abo, klor Rambam. Now the Rambam says that, okay, the penalty of being makir is not tshuva, it'll be difficult for me to do tshuva, I'll have to trip over myself 1,000 times before I'm able to do tshuva. But nevertheless, if I overcome all those hurdles, Rambam said that the tshuva is a tshuva. It's a, and that's a fundamental notion. So again, this notion of after Yom Kippur and Mechaper, unquestionably, that the person does tshuva. So tshuva does the job. Yeah.
If we just look at contemporary Israeli society and the way the Rambam's talking, you would imagine the Rambam would have more of a problem with a Masorati Ma'amin who puts his kippah on when he wants to, you know, every so often, and he'll late for him when you ask him to, but he doesn't have a particularly religious day, a religious daily schedule. then the person is not ma'amin bechlal and has nothing to do. You know, it would seem the Rambam would prefer the person who wasn't ma'amin b'Hashem, because he has a greater capability of doing tshuva than the person who's
the Sorati. I think the Goli Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael do not agree with that. And I don't think, I'll give an example.
The Rambam seems to say
I understand what you're saying. I hear you. I know that I heard from Rabbi Nevesel Shlita, the name of his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. His perspective was completely different regarding this matter. I'm talking about any step, even a tzad katan, when he would go into a taxi, a motzash, and the fellow didn't make Abdullah, so obviously how can he do malacha? Before we were driving Rav Shlomo Zalman, he would say to him, Shavu Atov. The fellow responded, Shavu Atov. He just made Abdullah. I'm just telling you, his whole mahalach was one which I think is the ideal mahalach. If we were to use more of that, I think we would be considerably more effective, as opposed to the, how shall I call it, the belligerent approaches and the aggressive approaches that are utilized over here that to me are absolutely unconscionable, unconscionable. I saw myself, I was involved with the purchase of a car, car mishumash. I don't have the wherewithal to purchase new cars. I was in Tel Aviv, in a masach, which is run by someone who's totally, not Shomer Torah Mitzvot. Matter of fact, in the course of the discussion, within 3 days, he never went to Shul Yom Kippur. He met me, and I spent many hours there until I finally, I went with someone who knows cars. Don't be cheshing me. I don't have any knowledge of cars. I'm completely amaretz. But I went with someone, I did him a favor, another fellow who knows cars well, and he did me a favor. I had to buy this car, Baruch Hashem. Should have a Rechus Yom B'Shonim. Anyway, so in the course of talking to this fellow, so he was astounded how I spoke. I spoke to him very respectfully, in a very friendly fashion, and I discovered he doesn't go to Shul in Yom Kippur. I was astounded. I asked him, have you ever been to Yerushalayim? No. What's in Yerushalayim? Ma'ye Shama? I said, Hakotel Maravi. He asked me, Ma'ye Shama? Yesh po gamken k'talim. Yesh po kotel, yesh ot kotel. Literally, I mean, this was the discussion. I really was flabbergasted. Anyway, in the course of speaking to him for many hours, in the course of 3 days till I got the car, Motzei Yom Kippur, he called me up and told me, Harav, he palat bet haknesset over Kippurim b'zkutcha. That's what he told me. So it's not a great accomplishment. I'm asking. I don't think
it's pretty good.
But I think that is the correct mahalach. I want to just now. I want to go back to the Mishnah in Yuma, if I may, and this is really what I want to try to discuss briefly. I'm not saying that anymore because I'm getting into trouble. On page number one, it's a little not so clear. In the famous Mishnah, I think you're all familiar with Machlokes Rav Osman Azariah, where the Yom Kippur is Mechaper only on Aver Shel Ben Mamakom, and not Ben Mechavero. That's the famous position of Rav Osman Azariah. He derives it from the Machlokes. I hope you can see most of it. It's a little bit blacked out. I'm sorry, I apologize again. The machine was not operating properly. Anyway, Mikol Chatoset Levin Hashem Titoro. You know, there are two ways of reading this Pasuk. Kayadua, it's a famous discussion, but he learns out that Mikol Chatoset Levin Hashem Titoro. But those that are Ben Mechavero, obviously Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, Achei Rates Chavero. And again, as I said, it depends really how you read the Pesukim. And there seems to be a Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva. He disagrees. He says, what does it mean, Mikol Chatoset? The Pshuta Shel Mikra means from everything. The pasuk is not mapped in between the El Namok and the El Mechavero. Yom Kippur is Mechaper. It's an absolute kind of kapara. And it's clear. The Bnei Hashem Titoru. So Mikol Chatoset. There's, by the way, an issue with the Trump over here. Depends on what I'm not going to get into that. Rasul Eshi was very into that. He felt that you can derive, like the Gaon says, you can derive halachas of Trump. The Gemara says in the Dorim elsewhere that Trump is a Nisinai. So there are halachas that can be derived from it. Fine, but the machlokes regarding this matter. Fine. Now I want to continue. If you take a look at the Mishnah, then the Mishnah goes on, and after it mentions the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and there's a Rambam. The Rambam quotes this also. If you see the Lashon HaRambam, just to look at that for 1 second, the Rambam tells you here, in because according to the Mishnah is in Bava Kama. I think I did Xerox this Mishnah, the famous Mishnah. Yeah, on page number 4. Mishnah Bava Kama, Tzadik Beis, Abba Mishu, Nelson Loi, and Nimchalachi, Vakish Yimeno. Then we saw the Rambam in the second paragraph of Shuvah towards the end. And the Mara calls the Brisa, Torah Abonim, Kol Eilu She'amru. The Mara says, Afilu Hebi, Kol Eilu Nubayu Sheba'olam, and Nimchalachi, Vakish Yimeno. We have to be with Abba Chavero. We have to, obviously, just like Hashem told Abimelech, he has to ask Abba Mavinus for forgiveness. And until Avram pardoned him, Hashem won't forgive him. And there also, that's what the Rambam says here, Halacha, he quotes in Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. That's at the end of that Rambam, in the second, on page number 2. And Halacha Tes, he tells you that, Ein HaTshuva, V'lo Yom HaKippur, M'chapim, El HaVeir, Shuram Nabokam. But V'lo HaVeir, HaChov HaVeir, Gozo, El HaNimcha, Lo Lo'olam, Shiten HaVeir, Moshuchai, Lo Biratzeyo. Avi She'etzel, Lo Mom, Moshuchai, Lo Tzach, Ratzoso, Lishol, Menashe, Yimchalo. And so the Rambam is pretty clear regarding this this saga. And also, in another area, and this needs a little bit of attention, on page number 4 as well, I also quote the Rambam, upper left-hand corner. Here he tells you, These two psalms correspond to the two Mishnayos that we just mentioned, in Bava Kamma and in Yuma. I mean, what's interesting is that why does the Rabbi Elazar Azariah introduce a pasuk? Mikol chatoseichem v'nei Hashem titorah. Well, the Gemara quotes a pasuk here, namely from Rabbi Avino. Why does he need a different pasuk? That needs attention. Why he uses that other pasuk? I mean, some achronim I saw, they say that Rabbi Azariah wants to express the idea, not only do you not receive kapara for injuring someone else till the injured party forgives him, you don't receive any kapara of Yom Kippur, even for Averos Shebet Olam Mokom, till you're pardoned by the other party, Meram Chavero. Wow, wow, wow. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted these achronim. Who are they? The Chavis Yoreh. Chavis Yoreh is one of the great Sheldon Chuvas. And I actually wrote this up in Doros Yoreh Sheisef. And then someone from the Gush questioned me, and where is it? And I showed him Chavis Yoreh, and he had a question, well, that's the proper Pshat, the Chavis Yoreh. It's a very fine Talmud Chacham. And whatever the case is, I think he said that. And this is a Chiddush Gadol. Means the way, again, either you have Kaparos Yom Kippur, you don't have it. Mikol Chatoseichem, that's what that passage really comes to teach you. That it affects even Benom HaChavir. Okay, but that's not what I'm interested in. I just want to comment a little bit, and somebody spent a lot of time talking about, again, if you look in the, because there's a third Rambam, I'm not going to go through all the Rambams now because I don't have time really, but I want to just go through the last thing, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva quotes here this Mishnah, he quotes several psukim. Notice that Rabbi Akiva throws three psukim. Why does he cite three psukim over here, Rabbi Akiva? First he says, Ashrekem Yisrael. You see that? Lechem mi atem etarim. He quotes the pasuk, Zavakta lechem ayim taurim. Ve'omem mikve Yisrael Hashem. Avagadimam etaris Yisrael. And also, we assume that he also relies on the pasuk of Lechem Hashem Titoro. But he quotes additional psukim. Somehow, you need all three psukim. Why are all three psukim necessary? Why isn't he satisfied with the pasuk of Azariah? Lechem Hashem Titoro. Why does he need two other psukim? So here I'm now quoting from Rav Soloveitchik, and with this will be the Sayyim, and that is that the first phase of Tshuva is expressed by the Bnei Hashem Titoro, which means that Bikol Chatosechem Bnei Hashem Titoro, that this implies that somehow there's a sense here that I have to go and obviously seize the opportunity to do tshuva. I have to take the initiative. I have to act as the metayer. And if I don't take the initiative, Hashem will not intervene at all. That's what Hashem titoru. Titoru, it's a duty. The question how you interpret the word titoru. That's, by the way, a whole issue. There's a famous Ramban that Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of. This Ramban, he says, the Mokar, it's quoted by the Rishonim at the end of Maseches Yoma. And the Ramban is a fascinating Ramban. That namely, before you enter into a matzah where you are l'fnei Hashem, titoru, you should already be tor. Is this a tzivui? Titoru, how do you, alpidikto? What exactly, what function is this word serving? Is it the imperative, or perhaps it's something else? And the reason why this is relevant, because we say vidui, even as kayadua, means kajar Yom Kippur. Means we want to enter Yom Kippur already in the state of Tara. Titoru, that's the tefillah zaka, the one Avram calls in Mishnah Berurah, and the chayodom, again, all based on this idea. Before we enter Yom Kippur, we should be in a state of Tara. But certainly, the Rambam says over there, we mentioned earlier, he writes that in Perek Beis of Tshuva, Alach Hei, HaKol Chayom Lazas Tshuva, Ulis Vans Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur is certainly a chiv to do Tshuva. But the other psukim, again, the Zerat Yalachem Mayim Torah, the Mishnah quotes, and Mikvah Yisrael Hashem, again, Rav Soloveitchik assume that the following is really the process of Tshuva. I mean, there are several stages here that are critical in the course of a person doing tshuva. And there's no question that this is unquestionably correct. That and this is what I actually Xerox here, in the Chavis HaBavos. There's a Chavis HaBavos who writes on page number 4, This is found actually in Hagdama to the Chavis HaBavos, and also in Perek Vav of the Chavis HaBavos, he has a Shara Tshuva. So, okay, it's a little, I'm sorry, again, blackened out over here. But he speaks about the process through which a Chote extricates himself, pulls himself out of the rut. He has an experience, what he calls Ha'ara L'Tshuva, with an ayin. Ha'ara L'Tshuva, I mean, a certain urge, somehow, that grabs my attention, and that drives me, that compels me to begin to deal with the chet, and that's the first push. It means a feeling of dissatisfaction, a feeling of despair, a feeling of guilt, whatever it may be. That drives a chote to do tshuva. It means that sensation of being contaminated, of being defiled. Rasavetsky used to point out, he says it in many tshuva drashas, that you see in the Rambam, that chet does two things. Number one, chet is milachlech. Chet creates zihum. It defiles, it creates pollution, but also it drives a wedge between the Chote and the Ibn Shalom. And the Pasuk, I'm actually quoting this Pasuk, Hilchos Tshuva, that your sins, Hayu Mabdilin Beinchem Levein Elokecha, your sins drove a wedge between you and Hashem Yisbarach. So Chet does two things. The Rav said that's why you need both Kapara and Tara. He claimed, by the way, in terms of the Catholic Church, that the only thing they have, they have absolution as a result of confession, only leads to Kapara. Doesn't lead to Tara. They don't have that element of Tara. He brought many, many hochachas from Catholic literature, from Catholic theology, regarding this particular matter. They have a concept of Kapara, no concept of Tara. But anyway, so initially, again, the person has to somehow get this Ha'ara. And then again, what happens subsequently? I mean, where does that Ha'ara come from? Somehow, probably it comes from, the Rav said, Bezorakti Alechem Mayim Torah. This is now Drush, so I say it openly. Comes from Bezorakti Alechem Mayim Torah. Somehow, I'm still a Tomei. But I begin to experience a different kind of life, and I see a cleaner life, a more meaningful life, a more significant life in the Torah way of thinking, etc. And the Zrika somehow arouses in me a longing for Hashem Yisbarach. And of course, the Ha'ara is a faint one. It's not a strong one. It's a spark. It sparks that a person has, means a person has a nostalgia for a different type of lifestyle. I maintain that people who come to Eretz Yisrael, there are people here, okay, this is Eretz Yisrael. In a similar kind of vein, they come here because, again, they recognize there's a certain recognition of what Eretz Yisrael is. Without getting into, I'm not a cookie in, and that's not my thing at all. But there's unquestionably a kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that all of us recognize. This is what the Chavos HaBavos calls the Ha'ara. It's the beginning of tshuva. It requires a Mayim Torin. And essentially, what happens after that? After that, a person then has to now, okay, begin to act on this. Now you have to begin to plan. And l'tachnein, you have to go ahead and try to put together a program where I can change my life. That is a very, very convoluted, complicated, incredibly difficult, gargantuan kind of task. It's a formidable task for anyone, and certainly for someone who's about tshuva. And then you have the third stage, of course, is the stage of Tara, where a person, in effect, can come to a level of purity that's really amazing. That's what you mentioned, Ari Feinberg, Mogam Shabbat Tshuva Omdim. There are people who become Bali Tshuva. It's really amazing to see what happens, etc. I actually have met over the years people who are radical in their youth. I mean radical, if I would start describing to you the nature of their radical behavior. And they became, towards the end of their lives, they developed this quote-unquote Ha'ara, this Hey Ayin Reshe. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik used to point out that the Chavos HaBavos calls it Ha'ara with an Ayin. Chassidus calls it Ha'ara with an Aleph. So even though these are two different words and grammatically have two different meanings, Ha'ara with an Aleph means illumination. Means even though a person's in darkness, there's some ray of light that somehow is able to penetrate, and some distant light leads him to the same destination. Ha'ara means with an ayin that I'm aroused. Somehow I have this urge to go ahead and min hashamayim, however it came about. What was that?
Like Uru Uru.
Well, I would compare it to another drasha Rav Soloveitchik. Kosnos Or, there was Aleph with Ayin. Are you familiar with that drasha? Gorgeous drasha. I once said a Jewish drasha about 15 years ago. But anyway, so Kosnos Or Ve'albishe. Rame used to read Or is spelled in Chumash, Kosnos Or, which means, of course, Hashem gave them the clothing with the raiment of Or. Or is
Ayin.
Thank you. But in the Kabbalah, in the Zohar, it says Kosnos Or with Aleph and Absalom. He has a whole beautiful drasha in this. In that sefer with the shofar on the outside.
Yemei
HaZikaron. Yemei HaZikaron, correct. That's a sefer that you must even read tonight, I would suggest. But anyway, the has all the very beautiful Chuvah Drashas in that sefer. They weren't translated for some reason. I don't know why. Many of them are from the Yiddish. I heard come out all of them. And just absolutely, I mean, the drash is just powerful beyond belief. Powerful drash. Okay, but just here, again, just the three stages are, number one, a person has this aura, and then number two, we have to have a program that you put together in order that the person should somehow, besides the push and the drive, a person has to somehow transition himself and implement the program of tshuva, which is a psychological process, a wrenching process. This person I was referring to, who was very radical in his youth, I'll tell you what he did. It was just mind-boggling. He belonged to all these, I don't know how to describe them, gangs, literally. He was a gang member, a Jewish guy. And he was, his own way, a terrorist. I mean, not Chas V'Shalom engaged in terrorism the way, unfortunately, we know here in the Middle East, but things that were absolutely totally inappropriate behavior and things like that in terms of how he dealt with people and the like. And towards the end of his life, he completely had a, an epiphany. I'm not sure how to describe it. He totally transformed himself. I mean, to the point where he became literally Nepach Yishacher, like a totally different person. Ad Kidei Kach, where he's a complete and total Baal Tshuva, and someone who is literally at this age in the life, he's now a man in his late 70s, he basically sits and learns all day. From what he described to me, what he was and what he is today. And again, and the Rambam writes about this, Kama Me'ula, Malas HaTshuva, Emesh, Hoyozeh Muvdol HaSalvesh, he was very into that word, Emesh. Where's the word Emesh found? It's found in Tanakh a number of times. Lava. Emesh. Amar Elai Lemar. Emesh. Why is the term used? And what is the term? You could have said Etmol. Yeah. Maze Emesh. What's the difference between Emesh and Etmol?
That's nine.
Emesh.
It's a name nine, no?
But why is that term used? Rambam speaks about it over here when he talks about it in, I didn't Xerox this. Perek Zayin Hilchos Teshuva. I don't think I Xerox it. He writes Emesh. Hoyozeh Muvdol. Tomei, Meruchak, Mituav, Vayom, Mubak, Mishchila. Why the term Emesh? Love that whole Shia. This very fascinating Shia. But the point is that the tumah is completely washed off. The person becomes Tohar. Okay, I wanted to be Medayik, but I'm not going to do it. There's something that bothered me also for years of Masim Mecharash that the Rambam actually quotes also. Avra Alasei, Eino Zoz. That's the Lashon when it comes to Avra Alasei. When it comes to Losasei, Lashon Rambam is different. What does he say over there? Why did he change the Lashonos? Okay, that needs attention. Ramasim Mecharish. I heard a lot of shiur from Ramasim Mecharish. When I was in Itri many years ago, so I used to go I went on Shabbos Shuva to hear drushes. I used to hear on one Shabbos Shuva three drushes. I heard from Rabbi Tzal Zholti, Rabbi Tzal Devracha, the Rabbi of Shalayim. I heard from Dayan Fisher, Rabbi Tzal Devracha. And I heard from a third person as well, the only Rabbi Elephant, the Shiva, used to give a Chuvadosh. They gave a different time, so I was able to run around all over Yerushalayim and hear three Chuvadoshes. So they discussed this issue. The Lashon of Zoz and Taylor, they're very into, the Briskets are very into this. Why did it change the Lashon? Anyway, Hayotzi, we called Rareinu. I just wanted to just to sum up the two Prokim of the Rambam, the Chuva, even though our salvation thought that the first parak is Chuvah Shal Hapara, the second parak is Chuvah Shal Ritzui, and the Rambam quotes a Halach in the second parak. Famous din, Gemara's Machlokes, the Rosh Yankel, the Chachamim, whether a person, if I already did tshuva, and now everything is fine, Yom Kippur passed. So do I have to do tshuva again? Gemara says yes. The Rambam passes the halacha like that. Go to Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because David HaMelech said, "V'chatosi negdi tamid, ki pshoy ani eda, v'chatosi negdi tamid." So what is the nature of that? I spoke about this in the past. What's the nature of that? Why should I do tshuva again? The Chachamim say no. Ki kel shaval kio. Why should you revisit the excrement? Everything is taken care of. What's the problem? So I show, so Asalechi said, no, the Rambam's a Chadish, a new din, a Ritzui. There's always a need for more Ritzui and more Ritzui and more Ritzui. So I show the Rav, Ki'ilu, I'm being Mechadish to him something about the Rambam. There's a famous statement that the Rambam was approached by someone who said, listen, he tells the Rambam, Rebbe, I didn't do any Chatoim this year, I have no need for Tshuva. So the Rambam screams at him, wow, unbelievable. This quoted twice. It's quoted by the Rambam's son, I mean, Avram and Rambam, and said, I must be God, the Hashem. Also found it in Pirsha Mishnayis of Obos. On the bottom, the quote from Chidor, the quote from others, Rabbi Kabbalah, Maserv, the Rambam. Rambam screamed at him like crazy. So, why did Rambam scream? What did the poor guy do? The guy knows what he did. He knows he didn't do any chatoim this year. Why should he be, why should he be guilty? So after the Rav said the shir, I run over to Rav Soloveitchik when he said there are two dinim, Kapara, Perek Aleph, Ritzu, Perek Beis. I said, and then I show him this Rambam. Yeah, I know the Rambam. He knew the Rambam, he says, maybe this is what the Rambam is talking about, what the Rav Soloveitchik is saying, this is a dinei ritzui, that even though he knew he basically was free and clear, but maybe this is another, and So the Rav says to me, not bad, not bad. That was like the best compliment I ever got. So it could be, that's the rules of Shad Ramah, that Shuvu Shekapar, Shuvu Shavitzui, and that's the second parak, that's the din of Chatosi Negdi Tomid. So Baruch Hashem, we're all, we should become, if we're not already, we already are, I'm sure, we're wonderful people. Where I call the people sitting here, Tzadik, the Murim, as far as I'm concerned. But once in a while, we have to do tshuva for things that happen, and we know that the Rebbe Shalom Baruch Hashem is haposeh shar ledovke b'tshuva. You just have to knock on the door. See, now my dear Hasidus comes out. Mm-hmm. So you just knock on the door, and once you knock on the door, Rebbe Shalom responds unquestionably. You just need the ha'ora, and Ez Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will hopefully bring us Ez Hashem Shnat Chaim v'Shalom, and all the brachas that possibly Sheva Bracha v'Hatzlacha v'Chol Ma'aseh
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.